In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that Thou hast been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my abilities for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at Lesson 24 of My Catholic Faith, the occasions and sources of sins. In the illustration, we have a seven-headed monster pulling a wagon, and on that wagon is chained down a man who is being carried on the wagon. It looks like down into the depths of hell. There's lightning and thunder. There are thorns everywhere. The wheels of the wagon are labeled pride, avarice, lust. And on the side of the wagon are anger, envy, gluttony, and sloth. So obviously, we have the seven deadly sins, and the sinner is being carried away by those seven deadly sins, obviously, into the depths of hell. The caption says, "Vice is easily formed, but requires great struggle to overcome it. The longer a man indulges in vice, the harder is the struggle. He becomes its slave. He is completely carried away by his passions. Only the great grace of God, coupled with a resolute will, can eradicate vice once it is strongly rooted in a man's nature. This is one reason why we must be most careful to avoid sin, in order not to become victims of vice. If we are so unfortunate as to fall into sin, we must at once repent and resolve to avoid it in the future." Okay. First question, what are the near occasions of sin? The near occasions of sin are all persons, places, or things that may easily lead us into sin. Most common occasions are 1. Bad companions. One who provokes or leads us into sin is not our friend. We must stop going with that companion. One rotten apple in a basket of good apples quickly rots the rest. The same is true of human beings. Sin is a contagious disease. If we do not wish to be infected, we must go far away from it. Right, so that I can think of one example, and that was our Lord. He traveled among sinners, and that was the accusation that the Pharisees used against our Lord, that he welcomes and he eats with sinners, and therefore either he is already corrupted or he will soon be corrupted, because you become like those around you. The sinners will corrupt those who are near to them. But there is an exception with our Lord, because he is God. Far from being corrupted, he purifies those who are corrupt. So Christ, associating with the sinners, he came to save them, not to be corrupted by them. So the Pharisees obviously did not want to admit that Christ is God, and thus able to overcome the corrupting influences of sinners. All right, so the second occasion of sin is dance halls. Not every dance is sinful, but many dances are occasions of sin, and public dances without the presence of respectable adults are extremely dangerous. A safe rule to follow is never to go to any place where you would be ashamed to take your virtuous mother or sister. In many dances, the women tend to dress with extravagance and immodesty, just to, quote, follow the fashion. Sometimes, too, dances are an occasion for the taking of liberties due to late hours and the spirit of unrestrained pleasure. Okay. the third source or third occasion of sin, bars and liquor saloons. These are very proximate occasions of sin, leading to intemperance and worse evils. Those who frequent saloons are likely to be not only habitual drunkards, but constant gamblers who neglect their homes and duties, become involved in disputes, and finally end badly, even in the temporal sense. The fourth is obscene literature. Bad newspapers and magazines are no less dangerous because their wickedness is often not apparent. Many hiding their evil under the guise of cleverness, science, art, etc. Bad periodicals gradually undermine faith and make one insensitive to evil. It is the duty of every Catholic to subscribe to a Catholic periodical and never to favor a wicked press. Number five, bad books. Many novels are harmless, some are very helpful, but many are positively wicked. We must be very careful in the selection of the books we read. There are national book clubs under Catholic auspices. Among them may be mentioned the Catholic Book Club and the Pro Parvulis Book Club, headquarters of both of which are in New York City. These book clubs send members lists of books of merit according to literary standards and not offensive to Catholic morals. They publish reviews of current fiction most useful for the general reader. We must remember that poisonous food will only kill the body, but poisonous reading kills the soul. Okay. Obviously, this book is quite old. Book clubs, national Catholic book clubs, basically are no longer in existence, but we have encouraged on the parish level book clubs where our people can get together and encourage each other in the reading of pious books. Right. The sixth occasion of sin listed here is indecent pictures and shows. Today, many moving pictures and theatrical shows are not decent. We must be careful to choose only the good, those approved by the National Legion of Decency. This legion, working under the hierarchy, each week issues a list giving the moral evaluation of current films. It reviews and classifies. It asks every Catholic to take a pledge not to patronize lewd pictures. The pledge is nothing extraordinary for any decent person, Catholic or non-Catholic. It merely puts down clearly something that any upright person is obliged in conscience to do. The Legion of Decency was formed in order to unite the laity with the hierarchy in a persistent drive to prevent the showing of lewd pictures. If every decent person kept away from such obscene shows, the producers would surely make better pictures. Supply is according to the demand. We get what we ask for. All right, so the next one is not in this book, but I would like to add it. For our consideration is the internet, and I think all these occasions of sin present themselves in a new or perhaps a different way with our access to the World Wide Web. The bad companions, our social media, can influence us there, especially young people, I think, in their social media. Online media is very dangerous. And, of course, the bars and liquor, we can all order things and have them delivered online. The evil, obscene literature is there online for us to consume, along with bad books and a lot of indecent pictures and shows. There's pornography readily available, even to the smallest children, anyone who has access to the internet has access to all of these things. I realize we don't have a Legion of Decency anymore, but to every Catholic we should not really need one. The book did point out that there is a supply and demand. Whatever we purchase, that is really our vote to produce more of this. And on the internet it is very similar. They are selling clicks. If we click on some evil, some immodest thing, we think it is really harmless, but those clicks gain support of sponsors, and that is really how they make their money. So we, each one of our clicks is not just an innocent event or a harmless event, it is actually showing what it is that we are demanding, what it is we want, what we're asking for, and that is where the money is going to be. So we are, even though we're not perhaps spending money out of pocket, everything that we view, click on, follow, is us supporting them, at least through their advertisers, because the more clicks they get, the more advertisers are willing to pay. So the internet is truly, I think, one of the bigger occasions of sin or sources of sin that we have at our fingertips today. And it is so much easier because we can do this in the privacy of our home, anywhere we can get internet access, which is pretty much everywhere these days. Okay, we will continue now with My Catholic Faith. How should we act towards occasions of sin? We should never seek and always try to avoid occasions of sin. It is wrong voluntarily to seek the occasions of sin. He that loveth the danger shall perish in it. From Exodus 3:27. However, those who by their calling or other necessity are continually exposed to such dangerous occasions as priests, officials, doctors, and others must put their trust in God, who will give them grace and protect them. We must avoid occasions of sin as soon as we perceive them. If one goes to the theater and sees that the play is an indecent play, he must stand up and leave at once. Otherwise, he commits a sin. He will fall into further sin and commit besides the sin of not avoiding the occasion. So when we go to confession, we examine our conscience, we make that act of contrition, we are also making the resolution not to sin again, as well as to avoid the occasion of sin, or avoid the near occasion of sin. That is part of our resolution. And so if we have made that vow, that promise to God to avoid the occasion, as soon as we realize that we are in the occasion of sin and we do not leave, then we have gone back on our word to God. And depending on the seriousness of it, we have committed another sin. So what are the chief sources of actual sin? The chief sources of actual sin are pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth. And these are commonly called capital sins. Right? So the actual sin is as opposed to the original sin. So we have original sin and actual sin, the two kinds of sin. And within are the principal causes of actual sin are those seven deadly sins or seven capital sins. They are called capital from the Latin caput, which means head, because they are the heads or sources of all sins. Thus, they originate sins of luxury, gossip, excessive ambition, etc. They are called capital sins, not because they are the greatest sins in themselves, but because they are the chief reasons why men commit sin. They are the origin of every sin, all other sins arising from them as from their fountainhead. These sins are termed deadly, because they are either mortal of their own nature or may easily become mortal. They may be mortal or venial according as the matter is serious or less serious. So we must also remember that if we do not give full consent to the sin, to a serious sin, it is likewise only a venial sin. If we are ignorant of the seriousness of the sin, it is also a venial sin rather than a mortal sin. So it's not just the seriousness of the matter that we must consider, but we must also consider our intention, our understanding of the sin at the time we commit that sin. Right. Number as we saw in a previous lesson, those things are what is necessary to make a sin mortal. It must be seriously wrong, we must know that it is seriously wrong, and we must give full consent to it. Right. The second, these sins are called vices because they produce permanent disorders in the soul. They are the seven fatal diseases of the soul which end in death. He who will be a friend of God must divest himself of these vices. Before we can plant the beautiful garden of virtues, we must root up the thorns and weeds growing out of these deadly sins. Does God punish sin? Yes, God punishes sin, partly in this life, but chiefly after death. In this life, sinners suffer from remorse of conscience, fear, and unhappiness. Their sin often brings upon them disease or death, the hatred and scorn of their fellow men, and other temporal punishments, each on earth the wages of sin. Even on earth the wages of sin is death. Thus a robber or murderer is ever afraid his crime will be detected. If it is discovered, he is sent to prison or to the electric chair. The punishment of the sinner is fully meted out to him only after death. Then the unrepentant sinner is punished in hell. Justice is not always done in this world, where the wicked often prosper and the just are made to suffer. Okay, so this last sentence that I'm going to read here, I think, answers the question that so many of us come across. I'll read the sentence now, and then we can discuss it a little bit afterwards. On earth, God rewards the sinner for whatever good he may do. It is only in the next life that the evil he does is given its full and just punishment. Okay, so there is really no one so evil in this world that they do nothing good. There's always some, at least a little good in everyone that is alive here on earth. And God must, because he is just, he must reward that goodness. And because the sinners that are on their path to hell, the good that they do must be rewarded in this life. So they receive a material reward for the little good that is within them, because God cannot give them an eternal reward in eternity. So while we are here on earth, it seems that God rewards the evil, or that evil is rewarded, and goodness is punished or must suffer. And the good that we are, the good souls on this earth, their reward is going to be in heaven and not on this earth. So it often appears that everything is unjust or unfair in this world. It is not. The good that the evil men receive in this world is the only reward that they're going to receive. And that is not for the good. They're not being blessed for the good that they're doing, or for the evil that they're doing. They're being blessed for the good that they have done. And so we should try to keep that in mind as we look around the world and we see that evil prospers, crime pays, whatever the observation may be at the time. We must be very careful not to fall into that temptation of accusing God of rewarding evil and punishing the good. With that, we will end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos et maniat semper. Amen.